This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Could the coin of the realm get minted from zeros and ones? I'm David Brancaccio. Britain is exploring an official cryptocurrency backed by its central bank. What would they call it? Think about it for a second. Right, they want to call it the Britcoin. So where are the Americans on this? Karen Petru follows Fed policy at Federal Financial Analytics. Hello there.
Good morning, David.
As the Bank of England thinks about embracing digital currency and sounding at least innovative, the Federal Reserve in the U.S., I mean, we're not ruling it out.
No. Jay Powell has very cautiously said that the Fed is open to it, but it will not rush into it. He said that because the dollar is so critical to the globe and also to the United States in terms of our soft power, or maybe not so soft, around the world, a central bank digital currency based on the dollar has got to be really, really sound.
Yeah, proponents of cryptocurrency, among the things they like is that it does represent a challenge to central banks, right? It sort of wrests some of the control away from central banks in terms of policy.
It really changes what money is. Money is never a real thing. Money is what we all each accept as a store of value, a safe place for value, something we can count on for our retirement, and as a medium of exchange. And whatever that money is in our minds is a tool for tremendous amount of wealth and power.
And if you want to read more about it, check out Karen Petru's book, Engine of Inequality, The Fed and the Future of Wealth in America. Karen, always good to talk to you.
Thank you, David. It's a real pleasure.
The House of Representatives has passed a bill that would give the cannabis industry access to banking services, which now could run afoul of anti-money laundering laws. Its Senate prospects are unclear. Here's Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer.
The legislation is called the SAFE Act. Cannabis is still illegal under federal law, and most banks shy away from letting marijuana businesses open accounts because cash from cannabis could be considered proceeds from illegal activity, and banks don't want to violate money laundering laws. The SAFE Act passed by the House yesterday would exempt marijuana business transactions from those laws, so cannabis businesses could open checking accounts, get lines of credit and credit card processing. Right now, they do business all in cash. The Senate Banking Committee will have jurisdiction over the bill once it arrives in the Senate. Democrat Sherrod Brown of Ohio heads the committee. Brown has said he wants the legislation to include an overhaul of prison sentences for drug-related offenses. That could be a stumbling block for Republican senators whose votes are needed for the bill to pass. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
There are many competing but unsubstantiated theories why today, 420, is associated with weed. I like the Bob Dylan theory. Rainy Day Women, number 12 and 35, and the power of multiplication. You can look it up if so inclined.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.
Mexico City is known for progressive rules on women's rights. Abortion is legal. There are reserved seats on public transportation to mitigate harassment and gender parity rules for women in elected roles and government appointments. But now issues surrounding access to sanitary products are creating tensions among businesses, feminists, environmentalists, and the government. From KJZZ's Mexico City Bureau, Rodrigo Cervantes reports.
Since January, Mexico City started a new phase of its single-use plastic ban. The law now forbids, among other plastics, straws, coffee capsules, and tampon applicators. Ornella Garelli works for Greenpeace Mexico on consumption issues.
Menstrual products, including tampons, are contributing to the pollution of our environment.
Garelli says there's no data showing how much female sanitary products contribute to pollution, but the nonprofit estimates that products are similar to disposable diapers, which account for almost 7% of waste. She also says the government should take more steps to ensure women have access to alternative products, and she says the plastics industry should have developed other options. A feminist nonprofit group fighting against taxes on menstrual sanitary products opposes the ban on plastic tampons. Menstruación Digna says these products should be free for low-income women. Anaí Rodríguez is the group's spokesperson. Rodríguez says the law has no gender perspective. She says tampons are the best choice for many women, while environmentally friendly choices, like menstrual cups, are expensive and rare. Susana Hernandez is technical manager for Mexico's National Association of the Plastic Industry. Hernandez says the industry is not against regulations, but the government didn't give them enough time to develop alternatives to single-use plastics. Marta Tagle is a congresswoman who opposes the ban on plastic applicators as well as taxes on menstrual products. Tagle says data collected by Mexico's Congress show female sanitary products can cost up to 8% of a woman's income. She says taxes on those products provide the equivalent of about $143 million annually to the government, while jewelry and magazines are tax-exempt. Women hold nearly half the seats in Mexico's Congress, and Tagle says gender parity has facilitated more discussion of women's issues. But the congresswoman says the plastics ban, and the way it affects women, shows there's still much to be done. In Mexico City, I'm Rodrigo Cervantes for Marketplace.
Today we also look at record numbers of black people 40 and under who got into the stock market in the last year. Marketplace.org if you miss our coverage on the air. I'm David Brancaccio. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.